Hello, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Human suffering, that's my topic. Let's take a look at that issue. You know, we as a society, we as a culture, we as a medical profession, we as a behavioral health profession, we as a group of people in whatever orientation we have, skills we have to offer, have not been able to reduce and eliminate human suffering. Some suffer economically, some suffer medically. Some suffer psychologically. Some suffer in their own personal lack of meaning, values, a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of depression, a feeling of abandonment. That kind of human suffering has been with us for all ages of life. You read books that go back centuries, and you read about human suffering. You look at the world today, full of human suffering. Suffering in the home. Suffering in the workplace, suffering on the streets of our cities, burning them down, tearing them down, shooting people, destroying property, destroying lives, destroying families, destroying homes. You know, we've not been able to solve it. We've not been able to solve Alzheimer's, not been able to solve Parkinson's disease, not been able to solve cancer, not been able to solve heart disease. They continue to be the top diseases by which people die. You know, we haven't even made a dent in COVID. We haven't eliminated COVID. All we've done is created some barriers. Vaccine is a barrier. It's not a solution to COVID. It's not an answer to COVID. It doesn't eliminate COVID. It just sets up barriers so that you don't get it. We've done various kinds of things. We wear masks. That just sets up a barrier. We try to set up all these laws and rules. You can't go into stores. You can't go into restaurants unless you're a certain age or unless you have had certain conditions met. That doesn't solve COVID. All that does is set up a barrier and protect some people with a barrier. But the potential for the disease and illness goes on and on and on like all the other diseases. We try to do the various kind of things we can to prevent people from getting them, but we haven't solved it. So human suffering goes on as a major problem within our society, and we have not been able to do much to turn that issue around. What about the people who suffer sexually? It's an interesting point. A number of people call themselves gay and call themselves transgender in some kind of way. In other words, they suffer in their own personal life in what we refer to as in their sexuality. You know, gay lifestyle is not a sexual issue, particularly. It's an issue of companionship. It's an issue of trust. It's an issue of relationship. It's an issue of social relationships. It's an issue of feeling accepted and feeling welcome and feeling wanted and feeling part of, as compared to feeling rejected or abandoned or let go in some kind of way. Now, the gay lifestyle has a sexual component to it, but it's not a sexual issue. It's an issue of connection. It's an issue of companionship. It's an issue of trust. So it happens that most people trust each other. Most men trust not only men, but they trust women. Most women not only trust women, but they trust men. But there are a few women who do not trust men. There are a few men who do not trust women. Unfortunately, they were raised in a home where the mother or the father was not very compelling in the area of companionship or love or caring or compassion or empathy, but in fact was rather cruel and punitive or rejecting and harsh and cold. So we form our relationships accordingly. We avoid pain. We avoid coldness. We avoid rejection. We avoid hurt. And we seek out those that accept us, comfort us, those that we can trust, those that we can count on, those that we can depend on. And if you're a woman, you can't depend upon the men in your life, you're going to gravitate towards women, and so on. So when we look at this issue of sexuality and the suffering that people experience, it's true. Many people do experience a lot of suffering in their life, in this area of their life. They've tried to solve it by having relationships with the trusted person, not the untrusted person in their life. The one that gave compassion, the one that, as compared to the one that gave pain and hurt and agony. That's how sexuality is formed. That's how sexuality is developed in our lives. And we gravitate basically to the ones that we can trust. And we form deep relationships with them. We form intimate relationships with them. But if we can't trust somebody, we can't connect with somebody, we can't be part of their life, then we're not going to confide in them. We're not going to trust them. We're not going to believe them. We're not going to relate to them. And we certainly are not going to form intimate relationships with them. That's the essence of sexuality. It comes out of human suffering, the part that we suffer from people in our life that have caused that suffering and then led us to live a life accordingly. Suffer throughout life, but to seek ways in which you can reduce that suffering by relating to somebody in your life, male or female, whom you can trust and whom you can rely on and whom gives comfort and gives care and compassion. In other words, we can't solve the issue of human suffering. That's with us, it's been with us, and it will be with us. And this is where, this is the point where science meets religion. They come together at this point in the area of human suffering. Science can do so much to reduce the human suffering of individuals, but it can only go so far. And then it must tip its hand to the field of religion. That's where human suffering then has to be resolved and has to be settled and has to be eliminated. When one enters the world of religion and faith and commitment of one's heart to the higher power, to God Himself. Now, one of the other things that we've not been able to settle and resolve in our society, in our life, is the evil with which people operate. The evil with which people treat others. We have a great deal of evil in our country. Look at the television recently and all the displays of evil perpetrated upon our downtown areas of Minneapolis and Portland and Seattle and Chicago and so on down the line. Buildings burned, buildings torn down, people shot, and so on. Human evil. Human evil. You know, we have created technology beyond our finest imagination. We are into a world of precise technology. I was at the dentist the other day and told the dentist, I remember the day when the dentist drilled my teeth using a pump. He would stand there and with his one foot, he'd pump a pump that made the drill go around so he can drill into my tooth. And then came the battery-operated drill. And the dentist said, well, I'm thankful for the technology of today. You know, and that's really good example. In all areas of life, we have technology today that we did not have even 50, 60, 80, 100 years ago, and certainly way beyond that. We have technology that allows us to expand our life beyond reason, beyond our ability to understand, into the vast world of space, and so on. Medicine, the technology is phenomenal, but we don't remove the evil part of life, of a human heart, of a human being. The wars tell a story. We still have wars. We've always had wars, and apparently we're still going to have wars on into the future. Family conflict we've had always, goes back centuries. We're still going to have family conflict. Differences in race, we'll have that for centuries. We're going to have that into the future. We can minimize it, we can stroke it a little bit, but it's been with us and it will be with us. We have to live better though and minimize the hurt and the pain that comes in that area of life for people. It's that whole cycle of evil that we have to deal with and understand, but we've not been able to solve it. We've not been able to eliminate it. We've not been able to remove it from our life, from our society, from our communities, from our homes, from our families, and from our lives. How do you change man? It's not the technology. It's the man that operates the technology. It's not the car that ran into those people. It's the man that drove that car that ran into those people, and so on. It's not the gun that hurts anybody or kills anybody. It's the man that operates that gun that kills. It's out of the heart. It's out of the individual mind of an individual where hurt and evil originates and where it emanates from and goes out into the world in which we live. Only can we change that heart. Only can we change that mind. If we could, we'd be on the road to reducing evil in our life. So it's not technology. We can advance it more and more, and we ought to, and we should, and we will. but it's the person using the technology that we have to really think about, and we have to know, and we have to understand, and we have to have ways in which we can help that person use that technology for the good of others and for the good of society and for the ultimate good of all of us. We have to operate our body, our mind, as well as our soul. We need to put those together. We can't eliminate one. We can't overlook one. They work together, the body, soul, and mind. And we have to, as a society, deal with the issue of technology from the perspective of the person that's going to operate that technology, use that technology, as well as benefit from it. Those are two problems. Those are just two. We could go on. These are problems that we have not been able to solve and will not solve. Yet we struggle with them as individuals. We struggle with them as society. We struggle with them as professionals, as a psychologist. I struggle with them. I'm sure as medical people struggle with them. I'm sure pastors, in the sense that they struggle with them from the religious point of view. But the issue is, when science comes to its ultimate end, its ultimate failure, or it's exhausted its capabilities, we then enter the world of religion and faith. And we need to move into that direction. We can't put a barrier there. We can't put a wall there. We have to have a realization that we pass over a line into the world of faith and religion. And we bring that into our life. And we bring the ultimate into our life, the ultimate higher power, God Himself. So think about it in that sense. We're all limited. But there's a point in which there springs hope. There's a point at which springs the opportunity for happiness, not just the reduction of pain and anguish. There's that opportunity to live beyond and to have meaning beyond and to enjoy and to express ourselves beyond the capabilities of everyday living. It's when we enter into that world of religion and we leave that world of science, because it's limited. It's got its limitations. Keep thinking of yourself. Where are you in that spectrum from moving along science, meeting that point of no return, and then entering into the world of faith and religion? Hey, nice to have you with me. Thanks for joining me, and hope this has been a little helpful discussion and opportunity for you to think it through a little bit. Bye for now.